The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Amazing Stories from Skid Row, brought to you by Union Rescue Mission, where we don't just change moments in time, but we transform lives. Our host is Union Rescue Mission President and CEO, the Reverend Andy Bales. Andy's special guest is Michael. Michael is one of Union Rescue Mission's Christian Life Discipleship Program graduates. He's an apprentice over at our warehouse, and he just got keys to his new apartment.
Congratulations, yay! Michael.
Thank you so much. How you doing, Reverend Andy Bale?
I'm doing good.
Doing
good
well.
To hear you guys' voices.
I'll never forget your first interview.
Yes, sir.
Grew up in Bakersfield.
Yes.
Addicted to heroin for how long?
50 years.
Wow.
50 years addiction. Everybody listen to this about turnarounds,
yes.
Comebacks, mm-hmm. Miraculous.
Right.
Step up.
New creations.
Getting our mind right.
And it all stemmed from you going to the bus stop in Bakersfield.
Thank you.
And you were deciding between Las Vegas
and here
or Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
So you went with either LAS or the LOS.
Right.
tell us from what happened from there, Michael.
From there, man, when I asked them about what buses were leaving, and so the bus for here was leaving right then. So I immediately bought that ticket. The other one for Vegas was like later. But anyway, long story short,
don't make any long story short. We want to hear the whole thing.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I want to revisit
that a little bit. Imagine, Michael. If you wouldn't have taken that immediate bus and had decided to stay where you were, that would have been trouble.
It would have been trouble.
It could have been trouble if you'd have gone to Vegas. Mm-hmm. In fact, I kind of know that might have been trouble.
Yes, that's no-brainer.
But you know what, though, Andy? Long story short, I've never been to Vegas. I've been here all my life. And you would think by now, the lifestyle I lived and the things I was participating in, I would have been there. I've never been to Vegas. And at that point, I was like, oh, man, maybe I should wait on this and go to Vegas because I'd never been. It would be a great opportunity. But then something that was saying, that bus, they sitting there, they picking up tickets. And the lady saying, what you going to do? I said, man, give me a ticket. and I came here and stuff. So, you know, once I got here, because for some reason, so I just had to leave my current situation. Things weren't good. It was just everything that was going on in my life that I just had ran its toll with me, and I was just tired. And so once I got here, I used to come here, and I would have breakfast all the time. So I actually got to meet a young man named Bobby Coleman, which was an apprentice here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he's gotten sick, and he's fell into a coma, but we're still in contact. We support each other. He actually came to my graduation.
Wow.
If it wasn't for him, I don't know, because I never knew about shelters. I heard about it, but I've never had to participate because I was always getting in trouble. I'd go to prison. But to be able to come here and find out all the things that you guys had going on, I had no idea until I had actually got into this program. I thought it was just for, like, homeless, like, that was it. I didn't know because I wasn't really familiar with this, and I had never seen a tent before in my life, because like where I'm from, they be squatting and stuff, like squatters and stuff.
Okay.
And so when I got in, I seen these tents and stuff like that, I'm like, man, what the heck's going on down here? I used to see it on the news and hear about it.
Yeah.
But anyway, when the day I got off the bus and got here, I went and got the Cobra stuff, the guys I had met, because, you know, I was a heroin addict when I got here. And so I was, you know, I'm really, like, outgoing, knowing. I know people, not like that, but, you know, I approach people.
Yeah.
Especially in this area. It ain't a coincidence that I ended up downtown, and everything is just by nature, you know, by my instincts and stuff. So once I got to talking with these guys, they sent me to get my little stuff on my nose, and the people gave me a test.
COVID test, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when I got to the tent, the guy that I was talking to when I first got here earlier off the bus, he was saying, man, well, yeah, I'll help you out, and you can stay here with me, and because I had told him my whole situation. So the first 4 days I was here, I didn't sleep in that tent because at night, the rats, and I seen all that. Oh. I used to be so scared. So I had some milk crates and stuff.
Mm.
And I would sit on the milk crates all night. And then, like, the next day, I started sweeping that whole street. I was on 4th and Wild. I would sweep that whole street.
Wow.
You know, just stay up. But after, like, the fourth day, I was so tired, I actually finally went in that tent, and I slept like a baby. But I had to get up because they had places of business, so we couldn't sleep there.
Mm.
So anyway, I started venturing off. And I met this guy named G, and he used to come here and eat all the time. She said, man, I know a place, because I was going to the other place, Mission on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
The food was always cold, and I wasn't complaining, but, you know, I never lived on the streets before, even in my addiction.
Yeah.
And so he brought me over here to the URN Rescue Mission. We started coming here having breakfast, and that's how I met Bobby.
Wow.
And I ended up liking it here. And so Bobby used to always talk crazy to us, like, because I guess he used to clean up out there.
Mm-hmm.
He would be talking crazy. So I say, man, don't talk to us like that, man. I say, man, don't worry about it. I'm going to clean up. He said, y'all always sitting out here eating, and y'all, they go to the trash can, y'all throw y'all. I say, man, I got you. So I started, like, coming there when I started coming for breakfast, because breakfast was amazing. We had French toast the first time I came in. It was hot. I said, oh, man, I am. That's where I'm coming from now on. And so
the food was good.
I started cleaning it up. And so then that Sunday, that was, like, in February. And so that Sunday, I used to go to the church on the corner and stuff, because I never had been to church. But, like, the music I started, I went up in there, and I just cried and prayed to God and prayed to God.
Mm.
So when church was over, I just stood out there because I couldn't go put my tent up because while I was sleeping out of my tent, they still had their places of business. You couldn't put nothing up till they pack their stuff, their trucks up and all this stuff, and then they leave.
Mm.
And I was just standing there, and that's when Bobby walked up on me and stuff and thanked me for cleaning up and all this. And I started telling him the whole story about me.
Yeah.
And he asked me, did I want to come to a program? I'm like, yeah, man. So he started telling me about this.
Mm.
He said, man, we got a drug. I said, man, I'm a heroin addict. He said, well, that's what I'm telling you. He said, we got a CLDP program. It's for drug addicts, man, and you got your ID and stuff, I can get you in.
Mm.
And I said, yeah, I got my ID and stuff. And that was on a Sunday, so he said, Tuesday at 9 o'clock, be here.
Mm.
So I came there. I came early, and I talked to Miss Ellen and Miss Linda. They were doing the intakes, and Mr. Brown there.
Mm.
And so
Father Brown.
Yeah. And so anyway, they got me in. And so I had all my paraphernalia. I didn't know what to do with it. And, like, you know, I'm a heroin addict, but I never put a needle in my body. I used to snort the Visine bottle. So I had 2 Visine bottles full of medicine,
my
medication, heroin. And so I asked Ms. Ellen, do I have enough time to smoke a cigarette? She said, sure, just take your time. So I went on the side of the building, and I snorted both of them bottles of my medicine and stuff. And I came in, I was so lit because I didn't know what to do with it and just leave it away. All my paraphernalia.
Yeah.
So the first 2 or 3 days I was here, once Mr. Browning brought me in and took me up into the gym, that's when we was being in the gym because there was quite a few people there and stuff for the COVID and stuff.
COVID, yeah.
So anyway, like the first 3 or 4 days I was cool because what I had, it could have lasted me like a week on the street if I had just, like, I wasn't trying to throw myself away, excuse my friend. And that third, fourth day I woke up, all heck broke loose.
Mm.
I was throwing up, using the bathroom. So
yeah, you started your withdrawals.
Yeah, I started doing withdrawals.
Yeah.
The first 2 days, I was as happy as a lark. And then Mr. Brown, and that's when they really came up. They seen me, and a security guard named Teddy used to be. He came over there and told her.
Yeah.
He said, oh, gee, you got to give up. You can't be, you know, like this, living like this, all food everywhere and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So the guys that was up there with me, they told me he kicking heroin and stuff because I used to sleep with the trash can at the foot of my bed, and I was couldn't hold nothing down. And I had never drunk Lifting Iced Tea Diet.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing, that stuff right there, that's the only thing I could put on my stomach and pull it up. And just, man, I was, man, using it, but couldn't go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And they actually had people in here that I didn't even know them. We just met coming. We intake together. It was like 10 of us.
Yeah.
And out of all of them, they all gone now. They didn't last, but they actually came in with me, and they knew my my condition. They actually laid there, not laid there, but was there for me, helped me to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Try to help me eat. And I've never had people to take care of because I never in my life ever tried to kick heroin.
Thanks. I was going to ask you when you kicked heroin, but it was in the gym while you were avoiding COVID and kicking heroin.
All of that.
And kicking heroin. And then Captain Peters and Mr. Brown came over. They say, man, I hope you stay, man. He said, man, we have an excellent program.
All right. We have to stop there for the next segment.
Yes.
But, thanks for sharing that quick version of your story.
Yeah. And when we come back, we'll hear the rest of it. For additional information about Union Rescue Mission's programs and services and how you can help, visit us online at urm.org. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at URM. You're listening to Amazing Stories from Skid Row with host, the Reverend Andy Bales. We'll be right back with more right after these important messages.
You're listening to Amazing Stories from Skid Row. Homelessness is devastating communities nationwide, but nowhere more than right here in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is now the homeless capital of America, but Union Rescue Mission is trying to change that. Did you know that many homeless families did not choose life on the streets? Many are victims of circumstances that spiraled out of control, but Union Rescue Mission's CEO, Pastor Andy Bales, says, whatever the reason is, really doesn't matter. Each one is in great need of God's love.
We are carrying out the words of Jesus Christ, and we're shining a bright light in a very dark place. I know our precious guests see our love as we receive so much back from them.
Become a hero for hope when you automatically give each month or a one-time gift of $250. You will also receive a special gift, Union Rescue Mission's book, Stories from Skid Row. The Union Rescue Mission, together with you, bringing hope, healing, and transformation to the streets of Los Angeles. Go to urm.org/KKLA.
Now, let's get back to more Amazing Stories from Skid Row with host, the Reverend Andy Bales.
All right, Michael, so you kicked
heroin,
which after 50 years, that's incredible.
Yeah, I started using that at the age of 15.
Wow.
On my dad's side of the family, they were all heroin addicts, IV users and stuff.
Wow.
Like that. So, yeah, so I witnessed a lot of things in terms of addiction.
Yeah.
I was actually, like, never had a chance. And I don't blame my parents. You know, because once you reach a certain age in life, you start thinking for yourself. You make your own choices.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for God's grace that he allowed me to come this far.
Amen.
And since I've been home, I've been in a coma for 87 days. My body was totally burned. You guys, when you see me, you don't even look like I've been burned or nothing. You can't even tell.
Yeah.
Unless I walk up on and show you. So I know it's God's grace. But, and so when I got here, man, and I told myself once I got clean, I said, I don't never want to feel like that again.
Ever.
That's why I can't thank you guys enough. I want to give a shout out to the URM, our guest that's out there listening to our radio station. It means a lot to me and to this community. The things that you guys do for us, because without you, we can't do it.
Yeah.
And I used to always say, I used to hear people say things, and I used to like, oh, they just faking this and that. But I can honestly be on in this interview and speak before God and this whole community, man. If he can do it for you, if he can do it for me, he can do it for all of us. And I'm living proof. Since I've gotten here, man, I didn't have no glasses, no teeth. I had court cases. I had all kind of different things. This community here, the services that they provide for us, you guys out there listening, you're struggling with drugs, please just show up, man.
Yeah.
Just give it a chance. Give yourself a chance, man. I'm 66 years old.
Wow.
And I'm just starting my life. I'm learning to live life today. And Ephesians, made it alive in Christ.
Yes.
If you get a chance, you guys just listening, please read it.
Yep.
It saved my life. Besides just being here and just dealing with my demons and stuff like that. And like she was saying, I done got my apartment.
Yep.
Chaplain Tyler. Ray, so I can go on. I want to give all the chaplains here a shout out because these guys are truly amazing.
They are amazing. Yes.
We have a chaplain, Dan, that used to be a chaplain here, but he still comes. He's actually going to furnish my apartment for me.
Aww.
Man,
Pastor Dan Anderson.
Man, I got my keys. Man, I've never had my own place. I've been living with from pillar to post, baby mamas. You name it. Mm, you know, I've never been homeless. This is really being homeless, but I've never been homeless. I had to sleep on the street or worry about where I was going to lay my head.
Where did you live in Bakersfield?
Yeah, in Bakersfield.
I lived on the east side. I lived on the east side of Wilkins and Bliss. I was raised on Wilkins and Bliss in Bakersfield, Kern County, right off of Union. And that's where I was raised.
Wow.
So did you inherit your mom and dad's house, or what happened?
Oh, well, you know what? See, because my addiction and in and out of prison, I got to come home 13 days before my mom died because she saw it to tell me, one day you call and I'm going to be gone and you ain't going to be here to bury me. But by the grace of God, 13 days before my mom passed, she had internal. I came home, my brothers and them came and picked me up from Folsom State Penitentiary and drove me straight to the hospital. And as soon as I walked in the room, my mom raised up out the bed. And she was so weak. Anyway, I held her.
Yeah.
And she said, son, take me home so I can die in my own bed. So for the first 3 days out of prison, they were showing me how to take care of my mom and stuff.
Wow.
You know, philosophy bags and everything.
Yeah.
And I took my mom home, and I sat there till she took her last breath, bathed to the bathroom, all the stuff, man. It used to be my biggest fear that she would pass away and I wouldn't
get
be
a
there
chance
for.
To.
So anyway, with the house and all the stuff, I end up going back to prison, and my brother and his wife, they did a lot of foul stuff, and that's what they did. And I just threw it up to God. Let it, because my mom was a hardworking young lady. My mom worked hard. She worked for the Pacific Telephone Company. We had our homes, cars, all. I lasted, man, after my mom passed, I had just got out 13 days before she died, and then I went back, maybe 3 months after she passed, and then I was gone another 5 years. So a lot of things transpired while I was gone. So I didn't worry about it, because if I'd have been in my I never knew how to get away from drugs. I really never even tried.
Yeah.
For some reason, when I got out of prison this time, because it's the longest I've ever been out, I got on a Thursday, 2014. I got on a Thursday, bought a Corona Friday, and started using Saturday.
Wow.
2014, August, and used every day until I ended up in a coma, went to the coma, got out, and they kept me sedated and all kinds of stuff. Got right. And I couldn't even walk enough because I was burned up so bad between my legs and my arm. Mm. You can't really tell.
Yeah.
I've been through it, but to come here... And once I got clean and started, was able to eat and walk, I started working in that kitchen, got to know Mr. James, a lot of them, and I'm like, man, my life, it ain't been the same since.
Born again, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically.
And you're my Bishop Charles Blake lookalike.
Yes.
I love you, Mr. Bad Daddy, girl. And so, what I was saying, like when you said born again,
yes,
I pray to God, Ephesians, chapter 2, made alive in Christ. I'll challenge everyone today to read that, because it really changed my life for the better.
Amen.
And like my apartment, I know you guys be so busy, Andy, I won't be mad, but I'm actually going to video it before and after. It's really beautiful.
Oh, we want to come by and visit.
Andy, you don't make me cry, Andy, because you don't call me.
We'll come by and tape you telling the story.
Love you, God. But it's really, really nice, Andy, my apartment, Reverend Andy. It's really nice, man. It's going to be the first place I've had to myself. The other day when I went, they called me to get the keys, and I went and put the key in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Everything changed. I sat there on my little island there because there's no furniture in there yet.
Uh-huh.
Just waiting on it. And I just sat there, and I just had to look around and get on my knees. I couldn't have did it.
All right. We'll be right back. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Yes. Okay. We'll be right back with more right after these important messages.
Thank you for listening to Amazing Stories from Skid Row. You may have heard a story that touched you deeply or even broke your heart. The truth is, most of us will never know what it's like to be on the streets, sleeping on a sidewalk, wondering where the next meal is coming from, freezing in the winter and unbearably hot in the summer, without hope. The caring staff at Union Rescue Mission does. We know that as the compassion of Christ shines through us, lives are changed and hope is restored. That's why we are dedicated to the thousands of men, women, and children experiencing homelessness in downtown L.A. We'd like to invite you to help us complete the circle of acceptance, redemption, and transformation. As little as $22 a month feeds a family of four a hot, nutritious meal. And when you mention KKLA with your monthly or one-time donation of $250, you'll receive our very special gift, Union Rescue Mission's book, Stories from Skid Row. Thanks for listening. To give, go to urm.org/KKLA. That's urm.org/KKLA.
Now, let let's get back to more amazing stories from Skid Row.
We came into the elevator with a lady, and Kitty was singing Monday, Monday with cheer. She said, Kitty's full of life and joy, and the rest of us are saying Mondays. And Michael, you're the
music maestro.
Yeah, you're the male version of that.
Yeah. Bringing
joy.
That's how we connected. Yes. Reverend Andy, music, man, I went and bought me a big blue tube. For my apartment, I'm telling you, man, it's a senior citizen living. And I don't really feel like a senior citizen, but I am.
Well, keep the volume down, and you'll get thrown out of that.
Right, keep the volume down.
Yes, sir. I'm gonna take that advice. Yeah, I am too, because it's my first place. And you know what? I feel like everything I've been through in life, I had to get through.
Yeah,
to be where I'm at today. And so I'm saying, really, believe it or not, man, my life is really good. The most important thing I done got a lot of good things.
Mm.
But the thing that I love today in my life,
yes,
that I lay down, I got a peace of mind. I lay down and sleep.
Amen.
I don't have to wake up and go steal. And I don't have to do nothing but get up and do what's expected of me and be of service in this program.
And wow. go get some French toast somewhere.
Yeah, some good French toast.
You know what?
What?
You can have the perfect marriage. You can have the perfect job.
Yeah.
Once God anoint you, Woo. Ain't no husband in the world going to take you or give you what he got for you.
No, nothing. Nothing can fill that.
I don't care how hard you work or how perfect you think it is, but when you go on to God's chosen one, anointing one, the trips he take you on, you can't buy them.
Nope.
I know that today.
Yeah.
That's why I know I'm a chosen one.
Yep.
It's priceless.
And
I believe that.
Yeah, it's priceless. And when you talk about that peace, only that peace that God can give us, whew, just awesome and amazing. Yeah.
Wow, so good to revisit your story.
Yes.
One of the most miraculous stories we have ever heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yes.
Broke a 50-year heroin addiction.
Addiction. Yeah.
Found sobriety, found new life in Christ.
Yes.
Ended up in a home.
Yeah.
And you have brand new peace of mind.
Yes. Yes.
And I have great friends and a lot of support here in this community. And I'm praying to God, if anybody out there struggling, please give us a call. And I'm going to share this, and many probably don't even think I know this. I know guys that actually called, and I heard they done sent for people to come to these programs. They will, if you don't have a way to get here, they will make a way. If you're serious about coming to the URM.
260-4761. I got a call yesterday, and I got a call today on my way to work, and we figured out a way to bring them in.
Yeah.
And
so you guys hear that?
We'll send an Uber to you and bring you
come, I know,
bring you home.
Sorry, Andy, I'm just talking over here because I get so excited. It's like being depressing because it's not going to last long, so I'm trying to get all mine in while I can get my bunches in and stuff. So we have chaplains. I've actually witnessed stuff how they actually, if you guys want to, please come.
Yeah.
It's the best recovery in the country, the URM.
Amen. Union Rescue Mission.
Can't say it better than
going.
That.
It's the best thing going.
We're out of time, and we love you, Michael. Yes, we are. We are out of time,
sweetie. Call in tonight during the live show.
Yeah, call in tonight during the live show.
888-995-5552.
Okay.
Hey, Kitty, text it to my phone.
I will. Love you. All right. On behalf of Union Rescue Mission, I'm Kitty Davis-Walker, the VP of Public Relations. Thank you for joining us. Tune in Monday through Friday at 9:30 p.m. and Saturday at 5:30 p.m. for more amazing stories from Skid Row. Don't forget to visit us online this week at urm.org. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at URM. May God bless you and keep you. Better than a hallelujah.
You've been listening to Amazing Stories from Skid Row. If your heart is breaking as you hear a story that hits a little too close for comfort, then donate to Union Rescue Mission and help CEO Pastor Andy Bales help the men, women, and children of Union Rescue Mission find their way back home.
I'm compelled to do this as I try to practice what I preached over 30 years ago from Matthew chapter 25. I preach that the way you treat another hurting human being is the way you are treating Jesus himself.
Since 1891, the Union Rescue Mission has embraced men, women, and children experiencing homelessness with the compassion of Christ. Many are victims of circumstances by no fault of their own. It's people like these and others that Union Rescue Mission is offering hope, healing, and a way out of their tragic situation. But we can't do it without your generous donation. So please, help the Union Rescue Mission provide food, clothing, shelter, and other life-changing services for those desperately in need. And visit urm.org/KKLA to donate now.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.